Text today is John chapter 12, verses 44 through 50, as we seek to finish out this chapter and we enter into the second part of the Gospel of John. Chapters 13 through 17 has to do with the Lord's intimate fellowship and ministry and teaching to His disciples prior to His death. These first 12 chapters have to do with the Lord's public ministry. How some have believed and some have rejected. We left off last week with John's commentary or editorial that even amongst those of the leaders, many believed, but they were not confessing Him. The purpose? In order that they should not become put out of the synagogue. The reason? For they loved the glory of men rather than the glory of God. So there were some who believed wholeheartedly, there were those who rejected wholeheartedly, and there were those who believed silently as they tried to walk the tightrope and walk the fence. And believe secretly, but outwardly not make it manifest. That would eventually change, as John's going to bring it out. As Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, and Joseph of Arimathea, two leaders amongst the Jews, they will eventually come out and to claim the body of Jesus after His death. And so those who are secret disciples now realize that you can't live the double life. They will eventually come out as followers of Christ. Verses 44 through 50 of John chapter 12 finish out this section. Listen to this, verse 44. Now Jesus shouted and said, "The one believing..." Notice the participle. This is somebody who is a lifestyle. "The one believing into me..." And those of you that are following the Greek text, notice in all of these instances when Jesus talks about Himself, He doesn't say meh, He says emeh. Emphasizing. "The one believing into me is not believing into me, but into the one having sent me. And the one observing me..." Again, participial form. "The one viewing or observing me is observing the one having sent me. I have come as a light into the world..." Purpose clause. "In order that everyone believing..." Again, participle showing life habit. "Believing into me should not remain in the darkness. And if anyone should hear my words and should not believe, I am not judging him. For I did not come in order that I should judge the world, but in order that I might save the world. The one denying me..." Again, participial form. "And not receiving my words has the one judging him. The word which I spoke, that is judging him in the last days, or will judge him in the last days, because I did not speak from out of myself as a source. But the Father, having sent me, He Himself has given me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life eternal. What therefore I am speaking, according as the Father spoke to me, so or in this way I am speaking." Three things, very important. First of all, in verses 44 and 45, the Lord's proclamation of His deity. the Lord's proclamation of His deity. He shouts and says that the one who is believing, not should, but actually the one who is believing into Me, Jesus said, they're not believing into Me, but they're believing into the one having sent Me. Isn't that interesting? As I see my life as I am a believer into Jesus Christ, that's the way the Scripture presents it, not in Him, but into Him. A believer into Christ is somebody who is continually believing toward Him, entrusting, surrendering their life toward Him. It's action. Faith without works is dead. So the person who is continually entrusting their life towards the Lord, they're not entrusting their life toward the Lord, but to the one who sent the Lord. Jesus is not claiming to be independent. In John chapter 14, as we will see in a few weeks, in John 14:6, Jesus will tell the disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except by Me. So they said, the disciples said, show us the way if You're the way. He says, I have come from My Father, and it is He that does these works through Me. And so Philip says, you know, show us the Father. You're continually talking about Your Father. He literally says, show us the Father and it will be sufficient for us. We'll be satisfied to finally see Him since He's apparently here. Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, Philip? The one who has seen Me has seen the Father. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2 that Jesus is all of the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. The position and function of Jesus is that He is the second person of the Trinity. In person and nature and in spirit, He's all God. When He said at one point, My Father is greater than I, He meant positionally. That as the Son, He took on human form, lived under the limitations of the flesh and of the world, and in that sense, the Son was less than the Father. Because the Father was not under those limitations, only God the Son was. But Jesus is proclaiming that everybody that believes into Him and entrusts and surrenders their life toward Him, they're not just believing in the Lord. It's the Father. So when I talk about Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, and that He is, He's not one person of the Godhead who sticks up for me. And someday I'll get to see the Father. When I entrust my life to Jesus, the Son, I am entrusting myself to the Father. Because He is the Father. And the Spirit that He has given to live inside of us. He's the third person of the Trinity, but He is called the Spirit of Christ. So God's Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. They're not separate. So the whole concept, and this is interesting because this finishes out the public ministry part, and the Lord's final teachings is this. Everybody who is believing into or toward the Lord, this person is not believing in just in Jesus, but they're believing in the one who sent Jesus. He is both the sent one and the sender. They're both one. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 31, that I and the Father are one. One and the same. One functions with limitations, the other doesn't, but they're both the same Spirit, same person, God Himself. So first of all, the one believing into me is not believing into me, but into the one having sent me. You cannot separate Jesus from the Father. You can't say, I believe in God the Father, as some religions do, and then say, I don't believe in the Savior of the Christian religion. I saw a video of a famous international Christian figure, person in ministry, and he says he considers the Muslims to be his brothers because they believe in the same God that we do. They just call him a different name. The question is, they might believe in this God who's behind the creation, but have they surrendered to Jesus Christ? Because if you surrender to Jesus Christ, you are surrendering to God. You can't surrender to God the Father and reject Jesus Christ and say, that's of another religion, we have our own way. That's why Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't come to the Father except through me. And then Philip says, show us the Father. Right here. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Jesus said. So let's get our theology straight and let's get our thinking straight. That when we come to Jesus, he's not just a representative. He's God. When we come to Him, we are coming to God. When we are entrusting ourselves to Jesus, it isn't Jesus, it's God. He says, and the one observing me. Theoreo is different than blepo. Blepo means to see. Theoreo means to view or to observe over a period of time. The one observing me is observing the one having sent me. I thought I was seeing Jesus. So as I hear Jesus and as I see Jesus, if He is all that I'm seeing, I'm missing the whole point. That's why Jesus says, I don't function independently from myself as a source. He's not even independent. He's one. You can't separate Him from God. Secondly, in verses 46 and 47, I have come as a light into the world. Purpose clause. In order that everyone believing into me should not remain in the darkness. The word abide, same word meno, to dwell, to abide, doesn't bring the meaning across. Doesn't mean should abide or should stay or should dwell. It means to remain. When Jesus came as the light to the world, He came to set people free so that they should not remain in the darkness. So His proclamation of who He is and then the purpose for His coming presented to us with a Hina clause. If anyone should hear my words and should not believe, I am not judging him, for I did not come in order that I might judge the world, but in order that I might save the world. So He came as a light. Because everybody is living in darkness, in spiritual darkness. And when the Lord comes, He illuminates every man coming into the world, according to John 1:9. The Lord shines His light. That's the energy force of His Spirit ministering to the heart of every human being. Not in words, in power, in spirit. Illuminating people. Now, according to John chapter 3, beginning at verse 17, is that everybody who practices evil tries to stay away from the light. I don't want to be around God's Word. I don't want to be around God's people. I don't want to be around the Spirit of God. But he goes on to say, the one who is practicing righteousness actually comes to the light so that they can see the things that are of the Lord and the things that are not of the Lord. They want the light to shine. I want to see what is of him and what is not of him is the attitude of the person that has a heart for the Lord. So it is interesting that when we all stand before God in judgment, it'll have nothing to do with words. It won't be Greek or Hebrew or English or Latin or some of these languages that they're trying to translate the Bible into in order to reach some of the isolated tribes. It'll be the light. When God shined His light into a person's heart, even unbeknownst to them, how did they respond? So that Jesus, as a light, came to draw all people through Him to the Father. Not just to Him. In other words, He's not saying, I came to draw people to me as the light. But as the light, I came to draw people to the Father, because if you believe in me, you're believing in the one who sent me. So the proclamation of His deity and the purpose of His coming. Then the predicament of man, verses 48 through 50. The one denying me. Again, a participle showing habit of life. The word deny here means to set aside. Just to, you know, you hear His word and you just kind of set it aside. Just put it on the shelf, put it out of the way. Jesus says, the one denying me and not receiving. Again, another participle, habit of life. Doesn't say they don't hear. It says that they put it aside and they don't entrust themselves to the Lord because of the word that they're hearing. The one denying me and not receiving my words has the one judging him. The word which I spoke, that will judge him in the last days. And here's the reason why. Because I did not speak from out of myself. Notice ek with the reflexive pronoun. I didn't speak from out of myself as a source. But the Father, having sent me, He Himself is the one that gave me commandment. So that He gave me commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is eternal life. Therefore, what things I speak according as the Father spoke to me, this, in this way I am speaking. Then when we get to chapter 14, he's going to say, it's not me doing the work, it's the Father in me. It's not me speaking, it's the Father speaking in me. So we have his proclamation. We have the purpose for his coming. It's not to judge anybody, but actually to provide a way to God. But then the predicament of man, because everybody who should hear and should not believe, the one who takes the words of the Lord and puts it up on the shelf and does not entrust themselves to Christ, Jesus will not judge him, but the actual word that he puts on the shelf and places aside, that word will judge him in the last days. Because the words of Jesus are not the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus, they are the words of God. He is not a prophet or a teacher or a representative of God. He doesn't speak independently from out of himself. He speaks from the Father. Everything that the Father gave him to say, everything that the Father commanded him to say, that is what he says. Not anything less and not anything more. So that it's not the teachings of Jesus that I will have to answer for, because the teachings of Jesus is actually the Word of God itself. The teachings of Jesus isn't the teachings of a teacher or a prophet that has come from God. More than that, it's the teaching of God Himself. And those who try to separate the Lord Jesus Christ from the Father and say, I can believe in a creator, I can believe in a God, which is a generic religious term, God, whoever he may be. But you see what Jesus is doing? To the Jews specifically, he's telling them, you believe in the true and the living God from the Old Testament, but you're rejecting me. That doesn't go. You see, people can do that with me. They can say, well, I can listen to him teach, or I can listen to him present the Word of God, but if it's not the truth, I can reject it because I want to stay with God. You can do that. But you can't reject Jesus and then religiously believe in God. Whether it's Jewish, whether it's Catholic or Protestant, doesn't make any difference. A person can generally believe in a generic God, the creator of the universe, and never surrender their life to Christ. Because they think that he's just a teacher, a rabbi, a prophet, maybe even the Savior. But he's just a messenger from God. He's not God. I mean, it's my word against his. Maybe God the Father will think differently of me. That's why in John chapter 5, Jesus said, for everybody that honors me, they're honoring the Father. That all judgment and all honor and glory have been given to the Son. So that as we honor the Son, and as we bask in His glory, we're actually honoring God and basking in His glory. One and the same. It's not separate. And when God came in the person of Jesus Christ, it was not for the purpose of condemning the world, but to save it. To say, I came as a light to shine in the darkness, to show you the way. But the message is, you are still remaining in the darkness if you reject Jesus Christ, but still claim to believe in God. You're still in the darkness. What a way to end the first 12 chapters of the Lord's public ministry. To basically say, if you've rejected me, you've rejected it all. There's no other way. I didn't come to condemn you to say that. I came here to share with you the truth and to show you the only way. Like Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. He's the only way. So he's showing the oneness. You have to understand that when Jesus was here on the earth, he was rejected by religious people who believed in God, who had his word, and held to the old covenant, and practiced it as we saw today in Acts chapter 26. They practiced it fervently, in intensity, literally, day and night. And yet they rejected the Messiah. By rejecting the Messiah, you have rejected God, and you have rejected His Word totally, straight across the board. That's a pretty heavy thing to say to a religious people, but not just religious people, but God's chosen people who have His Word. So they weren't just rejecting the teacher of the Christian faith, you see. This Jesus, whom the Christians say is the Messiah, and yet still wait for the Messiah to come. There's no other. Here in America, we can have religious systems that use the Bible and believe in God and that teach principles of positive thinking, and still reject the surrender to Jesus Christ. Oh, but I believe in God. If you reject Him and deny Him, you've denied God. And you're worshiping a God of your own religious imagination, and not the true and living God. What a way to end this section. The threefold presentation of the ministry of Christ. Next week, as we begin John chapter 13, the intimate fellowship of Jesus with the disciples, preparing them for His death. Next week, the washing of the disciples' feet. A very interesting teaching. Many people practice it as an actual religious ceremony because of that text. We want to show you, as the text presents it, what the teaching is, what the Lord's message is. He's alone with His disciples. He's not with the public. He's ministering to His disciples about what it's like to be a servant for Christ. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You again for another day that we can take time out to spend in fellowship together, and especially around Your Word. We pray that the power and ministry of Your Spirit would touch our hearts to help us realize, even in our own way of thinking and the concept that we have of Jesus, that we're just not coming just to Him alone, but to God Himself. Not to judge us, but to show us the way. And help us to see the predicament of man. Man cannot escape. We cannot set Jesus aside and believe in God in our own way. He said everyone will be judged by the Lord's words, because the Lord's words are not just His, but they are God's word. We pray that by Your Spirit You would give us the understanding and the impact of these important truths. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.